Good evening. You get to hear me again. My technology going here. The church we went to in Augusta, Georgia, did a similar program like this, where the men would speak on a Wednesday night, and the times my name came up, it was met with sheer panic, as it is most every other time. But for a while, I did a series of lessons I called it one of two things. It was either VBS songs revisited or children's Bible songs decoded. I don't know if I told Arthur, he may remember this, so I don't know if he was here when I did this or not. But it was interesting to revisit some of the old songs, and if I get a chance to do this again, maybe we'll do some more of them. But there's always one song that was kind of a camp song, a youth group song growing up that really, really meant a lot to me. And as my life went on, new experiences happened, new meanings seemed to get assigned to every verse of this song as I went along my Christian walk as a young man. And so it leads me to these thoughts and tonight. And this song is really, it's really special, and the stories to it are really special. And it's I might get emotional. I don't know if I do. We'll work through it. But it is very special. The song is, it's not in our book. I look for it. But it's "Have You Seen Jesus My Lord?" Some of you may know it as "Jesus My Lord." It's a really beautiful song. Some of people may know it. If I can ever find a slide for it, maybe we'll try to sing it some Sunday. But it was written in the 70s, I think actually 1970, by a secular gentleman, not of the church. The song has four verses, and we're going to discuss three of them. It has a refrain or a chorus, which we'll discuss in the end. So this song starts off in the first verse. It says, "Have you ever stood at the sunset?" I'm going to read it, so don't get it wrong. The first verse is, "Have you ever looked at the sunset with the sky mellowing red and the clouds suspended like feathers? Then I say, you've seen Jesus my Lord." So I knew this song, and then later on in life I was raised in the church. I don't mean sleeping in the pews and bathing in the baptistry, but I was fortunate enough to have grown up in the church with a good Christian family, and it was a good strong youth group when I was young, and we did some really nifty activities. And I lived in Georgia at the time, and the youth group took a weekend retreat or outing to Fall Creek Falls State Park here in my now home state of beautiful Tennessee. Our dorms were kind of up on top of a ridge, on top of a hill. And we did our daily activities, all the things, youth do for fun during the day activities. And the evening time had come, and we're standing on the ridge, and we're looking out over some river. I don't know what it is now, but and the sky turned orange and red. The sun was setting. There was the trees there. There was the clouds off in the distance. And I have a picture of that somewhere. It used to hang on my wall, but in the moves it got lost. But it was beautiful. It was a beautiful scene, and I remember standing there with all the brothers and sisters from the church, and we stood there on that hill that night looking over the river and the sun, the red skies and the clouds, and we sang this song. I remember that very vividly. So this first verse was forever ingrained, burned in my mind. And I think if Jesus wasn't there that night, He's not anywhere to be found. It was a beautiful moment to be with my brothers and sisters and sing a hymn, sing about our Lord, and enjoy the beautiful nature that God had made. It was a beautiful moment that I'll never forget. The second verse starts, "Have you ever stood at the ocean with the white foam at your feet, felt the endless thundering motion? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord." For many years, I sang this verse, and it didn't have any special meaning, really, until one summer, the church we were at took a mission trip to do a VBS for a small church on the far side of the Bahamas island. It was sponsored by the Freeport congregation, but it was a little tiny church way out in what they said was the slum. Was the slum area. And we took the group of kids down there and did the VBS, you know, the puppets and the cookies and the juice and the crayons, the whole nine yards, and it was really great. And the youth got to stay in the homes of the members of the Freeport congregation. So it was a really great experience for everybody. All of us, you know, good work was done. Everybody enjoyed it. And I remember on the last night we were there, the Freeport church invited us all out to the beach for a dinner and a devotional before we all went back to the States. So we loved the brothers there. The brethren there at the Freeport congregation were just fantastic. They were the nicest, sweetest. They had nothing to give, really, but they gave everything they had to us while we were there. And it was a beautiful thing to experience. So that night, the scene is we're at the beach. We've played volleyball, and there's a fire built, and we've grilled, and we've cooked, and we're standing there with all our newfound brothers and sisters from this new country we had been in. And it's evening time again, and the sun's going down, and we're standing by the beach, and we're all standing hand in hand with our feet just in the surf with our brothers that we just now knew. And we sing this song. Another verse was just burned in my memory forever. I'll never forget that night. I'll never forget those brothers and sisters from Freeport. I'll never forget the experience we had there forever. If the Lord wasn't there that night, I don't know where I'd find him at. Must have been there. The third verse we're going to skip for tonight. We're going to get to the fourth verse. The third verse we could preach for hours on. Maybe we'll save that for another day. But the fourth verse, and this is the one that's probably the hardest to talk about, is, have you ever stood in the family with the Lord there in your midst, seeing the face of Christ on each other? Then I say, you've seen Jesus my Lord. I've got to catch my notes up to where I'm at. You know, I love my church family. Not just the church family here. I love the church family everywhere. I think I've been in 7 different churches, I think, since I was born. And I've visited them all over the world. And I love every Christian brother and sister I've ever met. It's the most wonderful family you can ever be a part of. So I was thinking about this a lot and about things that people I've met in my life that have influenced Jesus from the family of the church. And I've tried to think way back to the very first church I went to. And I remember Miss Noreen Brock. When I was little, she must have been a million years old. She taught Sunday school, and now it turned out 20 years later, she's actually my Aunt Noreen because she's related to my wife's family. But I didn't know that when I was a baby. She taught Sunday school every Sunday for must have been 20 years until she just couldn't do it anymore. I remember she would spank you if you misbehaved in Sunday school. But everybody loved Miss Noreen. She worked for the Lord tirelessly Sunday after Sunday, serving the young people because she loved to do it. And we saw Jesus in Miss Noreen. I remember a brother, Jack Keith. He was an elder at a church I went to when I was a young teenager. And he did what was called a Timothy class. He drug all us nappy boys down to the basement of the church building every Sunday, taught us how to pray in public, how to read scripture in public, how to make a prayer list, all the good things an elder should do for a young man. I'll never forget what Mr. Jack did. He collected National Geographic magazines. He had a room full of them. And he took every kid that ever came from church down to that room, and you got to pick the issue from the year and month you were born. And I still have my October 1973 National Geographic magazine. Wonderful Christian man. Never forget the things he did for us. Saw Jesus in him all the time. There's another man named Charlie Hester. He was a youth minister at a church I went to when I was a kid. He passed away a few years back from a brain cancer. But I remember he came up to me one Sunday, and he poked me kind of like he always did. He was a jovial kind of guy. He said, Jason, he says, I think you're a song leader. I said, what do you mean? He says, you're a song leader, but all you're missing is a pitch pipe. If you had a pitch pipe, you'd be a song leader. And he handed me a pitch pipe. He said, next Sunday, I volunteered you to sing. He sat on the very front row, right there on the front row, while I led singing at church for the first time, which my pitch pipe, which I didn't really need the pitch pipe, but that was the tool he used to lead a young man to doing something. That was Jesus and Brother Hester. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the brethren at the Oak Forest Road Church of Christ. The Cools remember this probably. I think you were still there. They're in the disaster relief program, and back in 1990, I don't remember what hurricane it was, a big one, came through North Carolina, flooded the town we lived in. It was a mess. The church rallied together like I had never seen before. Gave time, money, supplies, helped I don't know how many hundreds of people in the town. It was wonderful. We had such a great time. Despite the people we were helping had a tragedy, the brethren got closer than they had ever been before. We were working for a cause. We were helping people, giving out beds and dressers and helping people with their houses and clothes and food and money, and worked with the Church of Christ Disaster Relief Program, and it was just an amazing time. The church did so much good, and I think it did the church more good than probably anybody. I was so proud to be a part of that, and I think Jesus was glorified and shown there. I remember another time, for those in this audience who have been in the military and been deployed to foreign places, I remember having church in strange places. I've had many a church service in a tent with a dirt floor, with people that you didn't know until you got there, and they turned out to be brothers and sisters from all over the world. And nothing thrilled me more every week than that time that they let me leave the flight line, because they had to let you practice your religion. That was the law, unless you were in conflict completely. But we'd go meet with the brethren in a tent, and we would study God's word, sing and pray together. I remember a gentleman I met there was a pilot. Now, I didn't know him because pilots and mechanics don't really talk to each other very much. They're officers, and I was enlisted. But there was a gentleman, I remember him. He was an older gentleman, retired right after the war, had the bald hair, a little gray around it. And I met him at service, and we got to be talking, we got to be friends, and turns out that he was a member of the church, and he lived a few towns over from where we lived and served at another church there. I mean, he kind of became my elder for a while, I guess, while we were deployed. We would talk after church services, and we'd talk about things we studied, and we'd talk about things we saw. And he was the light that I needed in that foreign place where God wasn't worshipped too much, and most of the soldiers didn't care too much about talking about the Bible. But this man, I can't remember his name now, and it kills me, and I never got to tell him how much I appreciated what he did. But we would talk. We would sit in the chow hall tent after church, and we would talk about things, and it felt like home. I loved him so much, and I thank God that he was there. And I saw Jesus in that man. He was there. Something a little closer to home when we moved to Augusta, Georgia. We didn't know anybody when we moved to Augusta. But that's where my job took me, and that's where we went with our family of small children. And there was a couple that on the first day we stepped foot in the church building, took us to their home, gave us dinner, took our children under their wings like they were our grandchildren, and made Augusta home. And those people are here tonight. They know who we're talking about. We saw Jesus in them. And one more before I completely fall apart is there's lifelong friends in this family. There's another group of them over here. We've known the Cools for near on 20 years now, since before we had children. We knew the Cools. When our ways parted, we stayed friends. And I knew that any time we came to Maryville to visit, knew where we'd be on Sunday morning or Sunday night, we'd be in this building. I knew where we would be. I knew we saw Jesus in them. And when we moved here, they put 5 people in their house for a week and a half while we put in our house. So do I love that church family? Oh boy, do I ever love my church family. I don't know much about what heaven's going to be like, but if all my church family's there, that's good enough for me. You can have your streets of gold. I'll take my church family. Now, we read in the Bible a lot. I won't go through all the verses, but if you read some of the New Testament writers, they love their family too. They greet them with holy kisses. I'll settle for a good firm handshake and a hug from the ladies maybe. That'll be fine. They prayed for each other. We hear instances where they longed to go visit each other. They were far away and they couldn't wait to see each other. There's instances where they didn't want to leave their church family. And they talked about them all the time and wished them good greetings. So it was great. So what I want to take away from tonight is two things. Number one is find situations where you can be near to Jesus. Now, not everybody can go to the Bahamas and stand on the surf. Not everybody will find themselves on top of a mountain. You know, where you can do anything. But there's things you can do to find yourself near to Jesus. Surround yourself with the people that want to be near Jesus and find those situations to enjoy. And look for those times when you can be near to Jesus. The other point I'd like to bring out is to be the one that displays Jesus to others. Be one of those people like in my list that displays Jesus. So the people that are looking for Jesus, be the person that they find Jesus in. Now the refrain of our song we haven't talked about yet. And it starts with a question. The question is, have you seen Jesus my Lord? And it answers the question. He is here in plain view. If you look at Matthew, I talked too long, my technology turned off. Matthew 7, read 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. And there's an action for this. And it requires you to take a look, the song says. It says, take a look. Open your eyes. And there's a result for that action. And it says, he is here in plain view. It's a beautiful song. It means a lot to me. Thank you for letting me share my thoughts about this song with you tonight. If there's anything the church can do to help you tonight, if we can help you put on your Christ in baptism, if we can help you with a problem you have, or you just need prayers of the congregation, this church family is here for you, just like it is for me and everybody else. If you come as we sing our invitation song.